USAopoly is the company behind your favorite top quality custom board games made with brands you love. They're your source for authentic hot pop culture board games and puzzles. They also create award-winning tabletop experiences that will keep your game nights fully entertained with laughter and shareable memories. For more details, go to USAopoly.com. That's USAOPOLY.com.
Warning. DC on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city didn't save
me. What happened to you? The right to remain silent, but I'm not a cop anymore.
I'm from the future. My name is Barry Allen, and I'm the fastest man alive.
Supergirl.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
Absolutely. Heroes. Now legends. You have failed this city.
Any preference on how you'd like to die? The flame or the frost?
Nothing better to do when I'm stuck on you. I'm still on here trying to figure it out. Getting hard to sleep, blood is in my dreams. Something's killing me, trying to figure it out.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to DC on CW, Legends of Tomorrow edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile by downloading the Rain Man Digital app. It's available in the iTunes App Store and Google Play. Simply search Rain Man Digital. And you can also find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher by searching DC on CW. Once you find us there, please go ahead and leave us a review. All right, I am your host this episode, Lauren Alexander, and with me is Bobby D.
Hello, hello.
Today we're going to be breaking down and discussing Legends of Tomorrow, Season 3, Episode 9, Bebo the God of War. Bebo and a young Stein are displaced in the time of Vikings. All right, so I got to say, do you think it's a little too close to home to be doing Stein stuff right now, or is it just the perfect time to really elicit emotional stuff from the characters?
It was like, as soon as he showed up, I was like, oh, son of a bitch.
Oh no.
This isn't gonna end good.
Yeah. It didn't.
Ew, yeah.
Spoiler, it didn't.
No. I mean, it was bad enough in the crossover losing him. And I thought we were going to get more of an emotional journey with like the team trying to bond together. It's like in their mourning and all this other stuff. And for him to just re-show back up, it was just like, oh, you know, because it did exactly what it was supposed to do. It gave him ideas of how we could fix it. So we'll talk about that.
Oh, boy. All right. Yeah. So let's talk about some news before we get into all of that heavy emotional stuff.
Things we never expected out of Legends.
Yeah. But we don't have a whole lot of news this week. Not real heavy news, not real big news, but just a little bit of stuff. So we've got one stupid article that I really hate, and I want to punch the article in the face if
it had one. I like putting
those
in every once in a while.
God! BuddyTV.com. Why Legends of Tomorrow should be excluded from future DC TV crossovers. It shouldn't.
Because it's so awesome. It's its own crossover.
Hey-o. You're right. Now, this person, Jay Ruyman.
Yeah.
I don't like you, Jay. I disagree with you. I think you are categorically wrong. Blah, 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 crossovers, blah, 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 regular thing. The writers and producers are still struggling to find a balance to include members from every show. Unfortunately, Legends was once again dramatically excluded from this crossover with half of the team sitting out until the final battle. Wouldn't it be easier if the whole team sat out? Well, why? What's the point? Okay. Yeah, they weren't included the whole time, but like,
that's the whole point. Your major characters are supposed to be the ones leading.
Yeah.
That's no different than when we watch Legends. We're watching Katie do her thing.
No, listen. Here's the other thing is Wild Dog and Mr. Terrific weren't even in the crossover really until the final battle.
Diggle wasn't in it at all.
Diggle wasn't in it at all. It's not just Legends. Did you watch all of it or did you only watch the last battle?
Yeah.
Because Diggle literally wasn't in it at all until he marriaged four people at a time.
It was a Groupon.
It's a Groupon. Can we buy that Groupon? Is there a Groupon up for Diggle?
I'm sure. Diggle Groupons.
Excuse me. Hold on. I got to go look this up really quick.
Only 12 hours left.
Woo! 25% off right now. Okay, but honestly, I'm not even going to give this article too much.
I just don't know what they're seeing with it. There was nothing wrong. There wasn't like I was like, oh, they needed more stuff for Mick or Steel or anybody else.
They gave no constructive criticism. They didn't offer up anything like, hey, it would have been better if there was more focus on this or that. And here's why you should just leave these characters out to begin with, because, you know, you could focus more on these things. But like, no, just there's too many heroes and not enough to do. And then he like contradicts himself. Many people watch only to see Kara, Barry, Sarah, and Oliver taking on the bad guys, while the other heroes can't do anything because they aren't as powerful.
Or they're just doing their roles.
If it's going to be all about the main stars of the DC TV universe with their sidekicks strewn about, the most logical solution would be to take Sarah away for an episode, so those who actually enjoy watching all of the Legends work are still able to do so.
If you like all the Legends, watch Legends.
The Legends were all in the Legends episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so how could he say that?
He doesn't have a complaint.
The Firestorm thing was the biggest thing coming out of Legends. It would be like, I said it on our show, that it's going to be the thing I remember out of this most.
That was my favorite episode of the crossover because it was the most important.
It actually meant something.
Yeah. That was a bombshell episode for Legends, standalone, regardless of any crossover.
Again, I like putting these articles in just so we could.
Jay, I think you are an ignorant doofus.
You are an
asshole.
For
lack of more colorful language, sir. Fucking hate you. All right.
The mic wasn't off.
I know. We got this covered.com has another article. Constantine will flirt with Citizen Cold on Legends of Tomorrow. So
now we know who he's gay with.
Heyo.
Right? They said bisexual sex.
No, they didn't say sex, did they?
Thought they did.
Because Citizen Cold is in a committed relationship with the Ray, and he promised to go home to him. I'm all sad.
Are you vested in something that I don't know about? Was there other episodes?
No, it's just I don't know. They had a sweet little thing going. It's just Dominic Purcell, who plays Mick, revealed that Constantine will get flirty with one of the crew. And it is Citizen Cold, Snart's doppelganger from Earth X, who joined the team during the recent Arrowverse.
Did you say doppelbanger?
Doppelganger. Gamer is what I said on X-Men.
Would have been funny if you said banger.
Doppelbanger. No, that doesn't flow. All right, so here is the quote. Let's see. Well, Trenchcoat has just arrived.
He talks like this in real life?
Oh my God, he really is McRory. He's McRory in real life. This is real life, guys. He just is Heatwave. That's perfect and beautiful in every sense of that. Trenchcoat has just arrived, and I've only had one scene with him, and that was last week. He was hitting on Wentworth's character. Isn't Constantine bisexual? And it was all too much for Rory, so he just kind of walked out. Wentworth's character now... What's Wentworth's character now? It's not Captain Cold. Citizen Cold! He's literally Mick Rory! So Citizen Cold is different to Captain Cold. Completely different. So Rory watching Citizen Cold and Trenchcoat flirt with one another was like too much for Rory. So he just fucking got out of there. That's what I remember doing. It's all too much. Too much information, which makes it really funny. The scene is hysterical. We were all just on the floor laughing. So it's all done in good fun. Like, what?
I am so happy right now that he is actually Mick. We'll find out in like a tell-all book like 5 years from now that he never read a line that was written for him.
It was all ad-libbed.
Yeah.
All of it.
And he was really sleeping.
Yeah, right? God. All right. But let's see if there's any other information. So Katie, obviously, Katie Glotz has worked with him before on Arrow. And she said, I've gotten to work with Matt before on Arrow, but I think I was pretty much possessed the whole time. He's a fabulous actor. We had so much fun on set. Constantine is this really cocky guy who thinks he's the ish. I think Sarah throws him for a loop because he thinks he's all impressive, but then she's like, ha-cha, takes everybody down. Yeah, I think they're friends. They like each other. And that's an old quote, but just to kind of put things in perspective again of
what to look forward to.
Yeah.
In February.
All right. With that, let's take a quick break.
I'm trying to listen to this guy. He gives a hell of a speech.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
This is Star Wars from the Butter Tank Exclusive.
That thing's operational.
So the takeaway from this series was not her escape from the trash compactor. Captain Phasma, even though that was the marketing ploy that they used, the marketing angle.
That was the worst marketing angle they could possibly take.
It was shitty. It was kind of stupid because even when I read that, find out about her great escape from the trash compactor.
When you say it, it doesn't sound that great.
It sounds stupid. You're going to tell us the story about her escape from the trash compactor? Why don't you tell us the story of when Kylo Ren took a shit? Like, that's almost the exact same thing. Get more Star Wars discussions every month with the Back to Tank Patreon exclusive shows. From Star Wars comics and book reviews to speculative discussions and breakdowns. All when you pledge to our Patreon page.
What?
Go to patreon.com/Rain Man Digital for more details.
As you wish.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
Why? You guys don't like Black Friday?
I don't like the hype and the way in which they portray it in the media. It's like that South Park that did it just recently with the Game of Thrones parody. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, there's been blood and murder. We couldn't be happier about it, Tom.
Right.
Because it gives them some bullshit to talk about. It's not because they actually give a fuck or they actually care about the news. Yeah. It's just a gimmick. So the fact that it blew up in his face makes me happy because he now looks like an asshole.
Yeah. I personally don't like Black Friday because it needs to be like reclaimed by the black community. Like, look, Black Friday belongs to us, fool. Come on, motherfucking Black Friday, fool.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to call Black Friday?
Call Black Friday for the belongs to black folk only.
Only they can shop?
Only we shop, and we do it good.
Right? So are you going to actually shop, or are you just going to loot everything?
Oh my God.
Wow.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
Hey guys, did you know that Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service? That's right. Besides the weekly free broadcasts, Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service. And when you pledge to our Patreon page, you automatically become a subscriber. So it's easy. The premium service includes video content, plus additional exclusive shows like Star Trek from the Holodeck, Comic Book Chaos, DC on CW bonus shows,
yeah,
Supernatural The Crossroads, and more. So head on over to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/Rain Man Digital and sign up today.
Yeah, I think over the break, we're going to put in some work and get some of these shows laid out. And I think we're going to do some Black Lightning once that comes on. Maybe all of us get together and watch it and see how much we can make fun of it and see how that goes.
Or maybe it's good. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe it'll shock us and we'll be like, oh my gosh, we should cover this too because we don't have enough shows.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL30 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL30. That's DEAL30 at adamandeve.com.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital, DC on CW.
Guys, let's jump back into this episode. Legends of Tomorrow, Season 3, Episode 9, Bebo the God of War. Directed by Kevin Mock, written by Grain Godfrey and James Egan. So, this episode, we are getting the aftermath of...
the leftovers of the crossover.
Yeah.
They actually talked about it.
Yeah. But Jax is adjusting to life without Stein. Not well, mind you, but, you know, he's... who can blame him? This is different than other deaths in the Arrowverse. You know?
Yeah.
Every time someone dies in the Arrowverse, someone has this revenge plot and, you know... I don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, you think about it. Like, Sarah lost Laurel, and she wants Damian Dark dead. You know, yeah. Barry's always after the Reverse Flash for killing his mom. Like, everybody has something. This was just a faceless dude.
Yeah, this was a dude that wasn't even, didn't even have an actor cast for him. You know what I mean? Like,
Nazi number three.
Yeah, like no name in the credits.
He'll be at Comic-Con signing autographs.
Yeah, I'm the guy.
I'm the dude that killed the dude.
I was the guy. I did it. But honestly, yeah, I mean, like, no, there's no revenge plot. There's no, well, we got to go out and we got to do this because we're angry and we got to, and someone has to pay for it. The team is trying to get closure. The team is just, they're just sad. But I think they're at a little bit at peace with it, knowing what they know about bringing people back to life and knowing what they know about time travel and stuff like that from everything that they've been through. It just, yeah. And so we get to see Leo trying to do therapy, which holy shit, that puppet was horrible. That would be awful. If someone I knew died and someone came to me with that shit, I would be so angry.
Like, if there's a Bob puppet in here, Mike's trying to talk to you guys about me dying.
It would be horrible. I don't know.
Is that a Earth X technique?
I guess so. And maybe it's so extreme, like cutesy, whatever, because their world is so extreme dark and that's how they find closure. I don't know.
The funny thing is, I think I remember them playing with that puppet, like through Instagram shots and stuff. And I had no clue what the hell was going on. And I was like, oh, that's what this was about.
Yeah, that's why this exists. Now you know.
Weird.
How do you feel about Citizen Cold versus Captain Cold?
I don't like him at all.
Yeah.
Bugs me. Like, his attitude bugs me. Like, I like the Captain Cold, like, just gangster demeanor about himself. And now he just seems to be, like, you know, the savior of everybody and trying to, I don't know. I just don't like it. Am I wrong?
No. I prefer Captain Cold for sure. But I don't mind Citizen Cold. You know, like I don't dislike him. I prefer Captain Cold for sure. But I think, you know, he's got to be here in this capacity for a reason, for a purpose, you know, to have this different personality and to decide to stay with the team for a little bit before Wentworth Miller just exits the entire Arrowverse altogether. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't just for the crossover for him to be gay.
We need a gay guy for Constantine.
Well, no, I honestly don't think that he's just a little plot device like that just for the sake of having
not.
A gay man.
Yeah.
And a bisexual man. But... So, I just, oh boy. This Stein stuff. Jax, while they go on this scouting mission for this aberration, He thinks it's fate that he's running into a young Stein because they see him in a net. And, you know, stuff ensues. But what we get to is a lot of awkward interactions with young Stein, who is not an idiot.
He knows something's up.
Yeah. So he knows something's up, and everyone's just kind of like, yeah, you're just at home with your family. Left you. It's Hanukkah time. Yeah. Totally. Yep. Mm-hmm. So you're
doing
just
the dreidel thing.
Good. You're good. Yeah. So he offers a letter to young Stein. Yeah, do not open until November, blah, 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 2017, 25 years from now. Do not open it before then. It's a loophole. It's a loophole. You're not going to be able to, you know, you'll live your life the way you're going to live it. But how can you hand someone like that and expect them not to open it?
Especially the date on the outside would just bug me. Like, what the fuck happens? Like, you got to know it's something serious.
You've got to know it's about, like, your death or the death of someone close to you.
Yeah.
It has to be. And when you get that and everyone else around you has been like, oh, yeah, you're just over. You're doing something.
Acting like they've seen the ghost of Stein's past.
Yeah. You put two and two together.
Yeah.
He's a smart man. So is Zari a bad influence, do you think?
Yeah, because she kind of put that in his head. Like, well, fine. You know, she was the one that mentioned the loophole. You know, and how, like, she would save her brother. And you're just wondering, like, all right, well, is this going to come up to where she's going to have to make that choice?
So do you think it's because she's the new team member and she doesn't
understand the repercussions?
Understand or respect the repercussions of time travel? Yeah, and
she hasn't seen things just disappear.
She hasn't been responsible for someone disappearing yet. Or someone dying. Or the future changing yet.
Yet.
She hasn't been responsible for something terrible, so she doesn't respect that time needs to be left the hell alone. Stop looking for loopholes. Once in a while, okay, yeah, I can't blame you.
Yeah.
But
it's almost like that, like, let them touch it. Let them know it's hot. Then they'll stop. They won't touch it again.
And
you
honestly,
know, you can tell somebody something all you want, but until you actually feel it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it probably makes a big difference for her.
Absolutely. And honestly, I really like that that they went this route with the Stein thing, because that totally ditches the argument of like, well, why didn't you do something? You're a time traveler. Go back in time. Okay, you say that you shouldn't, but, you know, he's a part of your team. Honestly, I'm glad that they went this route, and I'm glad that Stein stuck to what I believe his morals would be.
Yes.
Which is that you don't mess with it. You don't mess with time. You don't mess with the flow of fate and time and everyone's paths in their lives.
Does young Stein know that his daughter is kind of a time aberration?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because the last time they saw them was in 87, and that was before she was born. And the way when they left them, wasn't that when he and his wife, like, he kind of ditched her a little bit?
Yeah.
And she was upset. And so they were like, dude, pay more attention to your wife. And he was like, shit, yeah, because he almost lost his wife. He almost lost Clarissa.
Yeah.
And then so he started paying more attention to her, and then they were making the babies, and they succeeded and
made a baby.
Here they are with Lily. So yeah, I don't know. I couldn't not open an envelope like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's just
super secret inside.
Yeah, don't open.
I don't think I could keep anything around for 25 years.
Oh God, me either.
To be like, oh shit.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's that day I'm supposed to open something.
I've barely been alive longer than 25 years, so I can't imagine.
Yeah. Especially keeping that secret.
Right. That's huge. So, of course, Stein is still dead, and Jax returns to talk to him about that. And Stein tells him, you know, like, it was tempting. Of course it was tempting, but honestly, if I died, I was 67 years old. I had clearly lived a life. I had had adventures. I have a beautiful daughter, a beautiful wife. I have a family. I have you. I have the team. I've done things. What more could I have wanted? You know, I wouldn't want to just go on living and living and living for the sake of living. I would want those around me to go on living and move on.
Yeah. And it's one of those things for me, when he says, like, I've done things. That's always, like, been my thing. It's like, always just do things, you know?
Yeah.
Because it definitely makes your life. And you're just always like, you know, I couldn't imagine if like I had really done nothing in my life, and there, like I had that date that I knew I was going to die in my hand. Like, would it change a lot of things about you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a weird thing to think about. And that final goodbye though, with it just being like a handshake because they're not that close, I was just like, oh. But it was like an intimate handshake.
Yes, it was like definitely closure there.
Yeah, it was good. I think he honestly gave Jax some closure and made him realize that no matter what, like Jax can't blame himself for this because no matter what, Stein would have chosen to sacrifice himself for him, and he would have chosen to give the younger man more time to live.
So for me, when I was watching that handshake scene, what I was hoping for was it to flash to like modern day Stein and like Jax to see like that face as he's walking out the door. Cause I think it just would have just like set that scene off.
What do you mean?
Like if it was like the Stein, you know, today's Stein, like the real Martin 2017? Stein. Yeah. Like as he's walking away, like looking back and just seeing like his mentor's real face, like the face he sees every day for like the last time.
Oh,
as he's walking out, just like
just for him to see it.
Yes, in his head. Okay, yes, yeah. Not like.
Oh no!
Right, that would have been
that would have hurt way more.
That
no.
would have been legit.
Mm-mm. No.
Hard pass.
Negative, Ghost Rider. No.
You're like, I need you for 2 seconds for one more scene.
God, yeah. So, all right. So we made some predictions and we predicted them totally opposite of how they happened. We predicted that one would die and one would leave. And we thought for sure Stein had an out. You know, he has the family that he wants to go back to. And so that's why he's going to leave. And Jax would be the one to suffer and die, unfortunately.
Yeah, we wanted the happy ending for Stein.
And this is the opposite of that. Stein is the one who died, and Jax decides that it's time for him to leave the Waverider and leave the team.
And congratulations for the cast to finally keep something under wraps for once.
Absolutely.
That we weren't, like, knowing that it was coming.
I honestly didn't, after Stein's death, I didn't see Jax leaving.
It caught me off guard.
Me too. It was sudden. I honestly... I'm bummed.
Yeah, I wanted to see Jax be on his own.
You know, is he still able to Firestorm?
No.
So that's just done, right?
Yeah.
After that cure, it cured both of them?
Yep.
Okay.
Just the dude.
He still did so good on his own every time he wasn't paired up with Stein.
Including this episode.
But I mean on missions, too. Yeah. I don't just mean acting. I don't just mean as
part... No, I'm even talking about when he was in the field with the Vikings.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he just... I don't know. And he's... Who's gonna repair the Wave Rider?
Yeah. Who's gonna fix my shit when it breaks?
Who's gonna do that, guys?
Could you leave the ship?
No.
Neither could I. Like, I always think, like, the way I was thinking about it, we always talk about, like, con depression when we come home.
Oh, God.
Because we're just, like, on fire for, like, a week straight of just doing stuff and seeing people and, you know, experiences.
Everything's high energy. Everything's fun. Everything is 100% all day long for, you know, 5 days in a row. And then you leave and you come home and it's just.
Yeah, I have to go to the store and get milk. You know, you're like, this is boring. Like, I was living a rock star life for a week, and now I'm back home, you know, being, you know, Captain Whitebread.
I think after long enough, you could comfortably leave and go back to a normal life and be satisfied with a normal life because it's normalcy.
Yeah.
But I don't think I could do that for a long time if I had something like that in front of me.
Especially for Jax, because it's not like he's running home to anybody.
Yeah, he's got his mom and that's it.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, he was bored with school and everything before.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like he and his mom were close, but I don't think it was that bonded of a relationship for him to just constantly be like, I got to go home and see my mom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, my mommy.
Yeah. So, honestly, it's just, that would be hard. Do you think we're gonna see him again?
I don't know. This felt like goodbye for me.
Say it ain't so.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, unless I got like a just a horrible read off of the episode because I was just in shock. But it felt like when they did that going, like he, you know, he was trying to do like the gangster
he's
thing.
Kind of slip away in the
night.
Yeah,
I'm just going to slip out and you let everybody know. And Sarah kind of goes against him. You know, that when they do that with like the full cast there and they're all saying goodbye on air, it almost feels like it feels real. Like they're really telling him, you know, thank you for everything. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if he ever comes back. It sucks, but I mean, I think that's where we are. I mean,
yeah,
it opens up two slots on the ship. You know, if they want to backfill. But it's
I'm so upset.
It was a disappointing 2 weeks for Legends.
And to be fair,
in a good way.
Yeah, disappointing because we've grown to love these characters so much. From Flash to Legends, it's been a phenomenal ride with both of them.
Yeah.
It's been they've grown so much, both as their own individual characters with their own individual strengths, and also together as Firestorm, as a team, as a duo. The whole team has grown, and they've been integral parts since day one. So it's really hard. It's hard to watch them go.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's definitely a huge loss for the team, manpower-wise.
Oh, yeah. Because you know, we always said that Jax could hold his own just because he is like the ship,
right? Because we're
mechanic
already,
and engineer that he knows these things.
Yeah, and he's you know worked on his combat skills like hand to hand and weaponry and stuff. So he's like formidable in his own right. He's no Sarah Lance, but you know what I mean. Like he's had way less time to train.
Mm-hmm.
But you know they lost a brilliant mind in Stein, a brilliant like physicist. And now we've lost an invaluable member of the team on top of that. You know, we didn't just lose Stein. We lost the ship's mechanic. We lost a voice of reason many times. We've lost Firestorm, too. Yeah. You know, that who is a huge bit of manpower.
Yeah.
I'm real bummed.
Yeah, it just, I didn't expect it.
I didn't either.
No.
Which is kind of... You know, it's nice, but also...
Yeah, it's nice for once for us not to know 5 weeks ahead of time.
Yeah, but it's sad.
We normally do.
All right, well, huge thank you to Franz, I don't know, and Victor Garber for portraying these characters. It's been awesome watching them.
Yeah.
All right, with that, we'll take another quick break before we tackle the rest of the episode. USAopoly is the company behind your favorite top-quality custom board games made with the brands you love. They're your source for authentic and hot pop culture board games and puzzles. They also create award-winning tabletop experiences that will keep your game nights fully entertained with laughter and shareable memories. Brands include Game of Thrones, Rick and Morty, Star Trek, The Walking Dead, and hundreds more. Be sure to check out their list of games by heading to USAopoly.com. That's USAOPOLY.com. All right, now that all that's said, feely shit is out of the way. Let's talk about...
It's always one of those things when I put these things together. I'm like, should we do it right off the bat or right at the end? It's like, no, let's do it right off the bat. It's important.
Get it done. Rip the Band-Aid off. All right. Now we've got our main plot for the season continuing to grow. And we're now in the age of the Vikings. So the Bebo toy...
It's basically Tickle Me Elmo.
God,
they
seriously.
Couldn't get the rights.
So creepy. The Vikings think that this Bebo is a god and they're taking over the Americas. It's called New Valhalla.
the statue of the Viking.
I have such an issue with this week's freaking plot. All the Viking stuff, really cool. The Bebo thing, come the hell on.
A little ridiculous for you.
I've never had an issue with the camp and the cheese in Legends before. And the episode still shines through it. It's fine. But that was...
Worshipping the doll was bad.
We hit the limit, guys. Let's take it one or two steps back from there for the cheese, okay? We found it. We found the edge. Let's back up off of it again.
Yeah. Worshipping of a toy is a little much. That chick's just using it to manipulate people, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. But McRory ends up burning Bebo, so whatever. It's fine.
Fuck you, Bebo.
Yeah, fuck you, Bebo. And Damian Dark returns. He shows up as Odin, summoning lightning from the sky.
Yeah, I would have just bought that. They should have just went with that the whole time.
They should have, instead of Bebo.
Yeah.
But they had to find a way to bring Stein in, which they still didn't explain why the hell he got, like...
Well, why out of all the people in the world, he became one of the anachronisms?
Yeah. Which,
am I pronouncing that right now?
Anachronisms?
Close enough.
Okay, so I will say that they do tackle that a little bit, and they say, you know, what if blah, blah, blah? Like, you know, why is it always our past selves? And it probably has something to do with how much they're involved in the timeline. I buy that.
Or we'll find out that Malice is doing something.
Yeah, but I would buy that it has something to, like, they keep running into their former selves, and their former selves keep having to deal with, like, aberrations and stuff like that because of... how involved they are and how close they are to the flow of time and the timeline itself and blah, 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 whatever. And they're so involved in so many points in history. I would buy that. That's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
But God, I don't know. I would have totally just bought, like, hey, Damian Dark is Odin. That's fine. And he's got his daughter Nora there with him.
Yeah, we'll buy the mystical shit.
Do you think there were people that thought that Odin was just a Marvel character and not, like, Norse mythology?
I can 100% confirm, yes. Somebody thought that was some kind of name drop to me at work.
No.
Yeah, because people at work will talk to me about stuff because they know I do the show. And they're like, there was another Marvel drop. I'm like, did they make another Spider-Man reference? Because I didn't watch it yet. They're like, no, it's better. And then I watched it. I was like, that's real. Like, not real, but... That's not a Marvel thing.
No, but it is. It's real because it was a part of Norse mythology. It was a part of the Viking Age, which was a real part of history. Like, even if the god himself was made up, it was still a thing. It was a god that was worshipped. It's Odin the Allfather. Oh, my God.
I wonder if we put that in the Google machine here. Like, how many people will be like, Legends of Tomorrow drops Marvel references.
No, I quit. No, I do
not. Somebody wrote that article. I can guarantee it.
I hope not. Oh, God. That makes me feel terrible. But just internally, I'm dying. But yeah, so Sarah actually asks for help. Are you Googling that right now?
Of course I am.
Of course you are. All right, I'll move on. Sarah asked for help from the Time Bureau for lunch, which is kind of weird. But it's totally gone downhill since the arrest and imprisonment, we find out, of Rip. So Rip is in freaking prison because he kept going on and on about Mollus and all this stuff. I think it's Mollus.
It's a British accent.
I remember it sounding like mollusk. And I was like, Mollus, whatever. Anyway, so, you know, he's babbling on and on about that, completely unapologetic about everything that he went through to try and, like, find out about this being and whatever else. So, I feel like we're going to have another prison break at some point during this season and break Rip out of prison.
Yeah, there's going to be something going on with whoever's the leadership of, you know.
But the Time Bureau is totally screwing the pooch.
Yeah, then Hot Chick Time Bureau is going to help.
Hot Chick Time Bureau. Is that anything like, is that the sequel to Hot Tub Time Machine?
Yeah, basically.
So, but the Time Bureau is totally screwing the pooch. They, you know, the director is saying, well, this isn't a good use of our resources. This is a waste of our time. Okay, so what are you going to do? You're going to sit back and you're going to let Malice and Dark totally take over the world and screw up the whole timeline and everything's just going to get fucked?
Just keep collecting people.
Yeah, because you're too afraid to lose people, so you're not fighting at all. You're just sitting back and you're lying back and taking it. That's it. Okay,
they're
great.
They're like the Watchers in Highlander.
God. So
we're just here to record time. We're not here to actually do anything.
Yeah. But Dark, it turns out, is rounding up anachronisms. He's trying to make just basically a different version of the Legion of Doom. You know, he's got his daughter with him. He's working with or for Malice, whatever.
Yeah. We've got Grodd running around somewhere.
Yeah. He gave him access to time travel. So we've got Grodd destroying the Great Wall of China and like King Kong status. God. What? Like, he's screwing up time.
You would think something called the Time Bureau would care.
Well, you can't win this fight because it's too hard. Because you're little babies.
We're just going to take this toy back.
I want to punch the Time Bureau in the face. Yeah, although,
they are assholes.
Agent Lesbian is, she's winning me over.
Agent Lesbian's way better than Hottie Time Bureau chick or whatever I said.
Yeah, right. But she also, did you notice that little drop where she's just like, I'm not a husband type of person, type of woman. And Sarah looked over at her like, huh.
Neither am I.
That's
right now.
Yeah, right. Right now. Maybe later. We'll see.
You seem to be my best option.
She's kind of like, I'm not a husband or a wife woman, actually. She just kind of cruises through town and hey, here we go. So this was a really cool thing that happened in this episode. So they formulate this plan to take down Dark because Sarah's not going to sit back and do nothing. She'll go alone if she has to. And they take this Guy Ritchie sort of, stance when filming this and directing it. And they run through the potentials of how this could play out. First time is with just Sarah. And then the team's like, no. That's not how that's going to go. You're going to get yourself killed. There's no way that's going to work. Let's fix it. All right. Me and Nate are going to go with you. And then the scene plays out again and it goes a little bit differently this time. And then the scene plays out again. And, you know, like that was really cool.
Yeah. And it was funny because I just watched King Arthur.
Nice. I haven't seen that.
It's a typical Guy Ritchie thing where they do that all the time throughout the movie to where he's telling a story and you see that quick cut and, you know, more of, you know, the first person talking and everything's walking through the scene. So it was the first thing I thought of. And it was an interesting take on it. I was just like, there was parts where I was just like laughing at it when they just the wind charm or whatever the fuck you want to call it's blowing his hair around.
When Ray was just like, he'll say something witty, but not too mustache twirly.
Yeah.
Or something. He'll say something evil, but not too mustache twirly.
It was definitely a fun type scene where, you know, I appreciated them trying to do something different, that it wasn't just the standard, let's run in and do something.
And I honestly believe that that's how the team would run through potential plans.
Yeah.
I really do. Like, they're kind of not taking it too seriously, but they are at the same time. They're like, yeah, but what about this? We've been through scenarios.
Yeah, hold up. I got this idea.
Yeah. I honestly believe that they would do that. So they get there and they have better success than I thought they were going to against Dark and his daughter, Nora.
I figured it was
going
to be fucked up no matter what.
Yeah. But they actually managed to knock out Nora because she can't, like, the beams crossed, man. You never cross the beams, never cross streams.
Yeah.
But the streams crossed and she couldn't hold them both back and let the effect of them touching each other, I guess, like blew her back, knocked her out. And Dark just senses it immediately, drops what he's doing and tries to jump away. But Sarah grabs him and lands in the freaking upside down. And whose voice does she hear? But the Almighty Mollusk. That's his new name. The Almighty Mollusk. And the Great Mollusk of the Sky said...
That was a creepy, like, Voldemort-type scene there.
Yeah, it was weird.
Like, did you want to see him?
No.
Okay, I was like the whole time I'm going,
no.
Do I want to see what it looks like?
I don't want him to even like have a body. You know what I mean? Like,
you want it just to be like this
omnipotent presence. Yeah. Like, I want it to be this terrible ethereal thing, like a shade. Oh man, like some sort of like phantasmagorical, like weirdness.
Fog rolling in.
Yeah, I don't know. I want something crazy, something weird. And I know, I'm sure we're probably going to get someone cast and whatever, but
just be a dude.
It'll just be a dude. Whatever. But I liked it. It was so good. It was a void. It was just empty and devoid of all feeling. Or happiness, or I don't know, drive, motivation, anything. It was just empty. It was good. It was cool. It was creepy.
Yeah.
Like
I said, it didn't give away too much because I was like, are we going to, like, I seriously was watching. I'm like, are we going to see some kind of figure, something to kind of reveal what this is? Because we don't know, even as comic book nerds, we don't know what this is going to be.
Right. It's unprecedented. And Agent Lesbian came back for Sarah, pulls her back through the portal, that the rift that was still left open. And of course, all of this magic and malice and nonsense and mystical arts and whatever are the perfect lead-in, the perfect creepy transition to they said goodbye to Jax. You know, Sarah hugs him goodbye as he's leaving. He's walking off the ship and... she walks back in, and who the hell's sitting in the corner being brooding and creepy but Mr. John Constantine on the ship for the first time that we know of. Who knows? Maybe he's met Rip.
He's just been hanging out the whole time.
To be fair, though, like, maybe he has met Rip. Maybe he, you
know. Rip seems to know everybody.
Rip seems to know everybody. And John Constantine sure seems to get a lot of attention from all sorts of demonic and or mystical beings. So... and he seems to know, you know, what the ship is, who's on it, etc. But here we find out that he needs Sarah's help. He needs the Legend's help with exorcising a demon that happens to know Sarah's name. What do you think that's going to be? What do you think there's going to be a tie-in with?
I don't know. You wonder...
Her time when her soul wasn't, like, attached to her body?
Something like that, I could
when
see.
When she was in, like, hell or purgatory,
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, I would say if they want to do it right, they tie it back to when she, you know, was basically feral.
When she was dead?
Yeah, over in Arrow, and Constantine had to come back and get her. That it's just somebody out, like, that caught this vessel that's reaching out to her because it's the only person he knows or something like that.
Did you expect to see him in this episode?
Not one bit. I knew he was coming back for the premiere, but the midseason when it comes.
Yeah.
But again, that's way off in February. So I just figured that they weren't going to be like, oh, magically I'm on the ship.
Yeah. So now I just get to sit here and bounce in my seat until February with excitement.
Yeah.
Because Matt Ryan is amazing as Constantine. That show was so good. We love him. We've been waiting. We've been waiting for him to come to Legends. We've been saying that this is the perfect place for him. I would love for him to stick around. Listen, we've got a couple open spots, John.
Yeah.
We got a couple open spots. They just opened up.
As soon as Cold leaves, we'll have another one.
Yeah. Come on. You can exorcise demons through time and space.
You have a skill set that we don't have.
Right. We're always looking for new ones. All right. So, not really final thoughts, but let's talk about, you know, the overall first half this year, the highlights, lowlights. What are you feeling?
The balls they had to kill off a major character.
Yeah.
I think I
would categorize that as both highlight and
lowlight.
Yeah.
Because we called out Arrow hardcore because they had the opportunity to kill Athea, to kill a Felicity, to actually do something that meant something to the show, and they were chicken shits. You know, to go off and kill Stein, and like, what is a time travel show that, you know, we could always bring somebody back in? That took some balls. It wasn't just a random character. And then just to let Jax go, it was like, wow, you guys caught me off guard, and that doesn't happen that often. So, again, I like that they actually did it and pulled it off and did it well. Low light, because I don't want to see him go. My other low light would be the whole fucking circus episode. because that was absolute horseshit, where they all look like a bunch of idiots. I think that was the second one of the season, and I was nervous that we were going to get the season three curse.
The season three curse of it going real downhill real fast?
Yeah, just like the immediate drop off of the,
you know,
the roller coaster.
Supergirl has not given us that either.
No.
So I think we're past that.
They've learned, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm going to say they've learned, because Legends would have to take like a giant shit right now for it to fall into that.
Right.
Same with Supergirl.
So for me, yeah, I mean, honestly, just the balls to make a commitment to something and stick to it. I know that it probably was due to Victor Garber saying, hey, I'm leaving. I want to pursue other things. But for Jax to leave as well, you know, we lost two of our family members. You know, like this team on this show is a family. They've become their own little ragtag family. And we lost two people over the past 2 weeks. And they're people that have been with us since before Legends. And they've been with Legends since day one.
Yeah, these are the old school cast.
Yeah. You know, it's hard. It's hard to watch. It's rough. But making a commitment to do something dramatic makes for good television.
Yes.
It makes for good stories. You know, I don't feel like, oh, it's fine. They'll just bring them back anyway. This is the way they did with the Lance sisters a billion times.
Yeah. Where you like, even when Laurel really died, you're just like, oh, don't worry. She's coming back.
Yeah. So,
it was believable that this was a true end to the story.
Yeah. It felt like an end. It felt like a goodbye. And maybe Jax will come back once or twice or something like that, but it felt like goodbye for sure. I honestly, I don't know. Like they've been giving us so much good stuff. The season started out kind of like over the top campy, but it was fine. It was just them getting back into the swing of things because they hadn't been living life as normal. Well, normal for them, which is the Wave Rider. They had been living quote unquote normal lives, yeah. By working crappy jobs and getting back into the real world in the present day. But, nothing has felt out of place this season. Nothing's felt particularly bad. The CG's been good. What little we've had of it for Legends has been great. I think the only real issue that I'm potentially going to have moving forward is what's going to happen with the cast now and who else is going to join the team, because we're working with a smaller team and
an inexperienced team too.
And some of them inexperienced, yeah. Or at least less experienced than, you know, some of the other members.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens. We already had one prediction go wrong.
Ish.
Well, it was just opposite.
Yeah, we were close.
Do we have any other predictions for the rest of the season, though? I don't.
There's nothing that kind of stands out.
No.
Other than, you know, maybe Rip becomes a full-time member of the ship.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and because everything else is kind of, I don't see any like deaths. I don't see any kind of.
No, I think we've had our team death for the year.
They can't just continually knock people off.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something that I would like to see would be at the end that Constantine joins ship for
Ayo.
The next season.
Yes.
Yes. Especially if there's hope and openness, like an open spot. Like, I would like to see, like, a Constantine and, like, a Jonah Hex show up, you know, and interact with the team. You know, I think characters like that come from a different... Most of these are coming from, like, the same Earth or the same kind of backgrounds.
Right.
You know, we have, of course, we have our, you know, one from the past, one from the future. But it's still, like, the same type of thing. People that are kind of in the nowhere... Zone. I mean, maybe we just dig more into Constantine, which would be cool.
Would be great. I would love to see Constantine on the ship. At least, I mean, he doesn't have to be there permanently, because I feel like then that would take away from the fact that he's a friggin' exorcist, because they're not always going to be dealing with demons.
Yeah.
But
yeah. He can't always be running in and out of hell
on and
all
off.
The time.
He could be a consultant. I would like to see Jonah Hex again. I'd love to see Constantine and Jonah Hex in the same episode.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious. They would be so good together. I honestly, I don't, I don't know what predictions I have for this show. I'm enjoying the ride it's taking me on.
Even though it was a depressing turn here.
Yeah, this show got serious real fast. This has been the most hurt I've been watching Legends so far. They fixed the problems that they had with us not caring about cast members. Zari still has to totally win me over, but she'll get there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Hawk stuff.
Yeah, they're not. She's not the cock people level yet.
Yeah, she's not there. So I think she's on her way. She just something dramatic has to happen with her for her to really understand the gravity of her actions and the actions of the Legends and why she needs to follow protocol. Like, yeah, Sarah's not your mom. You don't have to listen to everything she says.
But rules are rules.
However, rules is rules for a reason. And I think as far as this big bad, it's we got fun Damien Dark last season. We got sassy Damien Dark with Malcolm Merlyn and Eobard Thawn. And I think Dark's pissed now because this Dark has been killed. You know, he woke up and was like, where's my watch?
Yeah,
it was the Dark that's been killed. He is mad. He's pissed. He has a daughter who's by his side to protect. And he is imbued with more power than he had before. And this evil being that we don't even know what or who or anything about him or it.
Scary.
Is scary. There's this whole like purgatory type upside down dimension. And I feel concerned for the Legends. It doesn't feel like, oh, these are just some metas that they can take care of.
Yeah.
Before,
yeah, what skill set do you have to stop something that you can't really touch?
Yeah, the Legion of Doom they were great villains, and I had a great time watching them. No complaints there at all. But at the end of the day, they are tangible humans, two of which are just, you know, one of which wasn't superpowered, you know, one of which also wasn't technically superpowered. Like, he wasn't a meta, but he had mystical powers from something, and then you know, one of them was just a speedster. So at the end of the day, they're tangible men who you can outsmart or, you know, trick, or you can just beat them with pure brawn if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they're going to face this. And it seems like Rip is the one that knows the most about him.
Rip better start fucking talking.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm excited for the mid-season return. I'm excited for Constantine. I'm excited for everything that this season has to offer. This show has only been going uphill for me. I've gotten more and more invested in the Legends as a team, as a show, everything.
That's it.
That's it. All right. Bye, guys.
See you February.
Yeah. No, but honestly, it's just I'm really excited. So we'll see what Legends has in store for us when it comes back in February. It's a longer mid-season break than the other shows. As we all know, they have historically had shorter seasons, but I think they wanted to make sure all of the episodes matched up, like, and all the episode the numbers matched up for the big true crossover we got. So with that, we're going to wrap things up for today's DC on CW Legends of Tomorrow edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through the Rain Man Digital app. And be sure to follow us on our social media. Our Twitter is at DC on CW, Facebook.com/DC on CW, and Instagram at DC_on_CW. And we will catch you after the midseason break.
Not in the mood for chit-chat. Gotcha. Ready when you are. We'll be right back.